You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Do people want both parties to move from the fringes, from the extremes, back to the center?
I think a lot of people in this country may say yes, but it's important for us to dig into the substance of what that actually means. As someone who is often, I think, characterized as extreme, I, of course, would object to that. I do not believe that I am as extreme.
Oh, I'm not extreme. I'm not a Texan. I don't drink Jack. I don't ride the Harleys. I don't shoot guns. I don't play poker. Anybody says I do, you're wrong. Oh, my God. That is AOC, one of the cult leading cult members of the squad, in an interview with Chris Wallace of now CNN. And saying, you know, do you think we need to kind of come together and cut down all the high-end rhetoric and lower the tone and temperature, which I do agree with. But this woman, she said, oh, I'm all in favor of it, but don't look at me as being extreme. It ain't me. Huh. Here we are, November 11, 2021. This is Veterans Day. And we're going to talk about that in more detail later in this hour. I mean, in today's program, because I want to spend some real focus on a couple of issues, but then we also have to look at what's going on otherwise. One of the biggest things right now is this question. Are the results of the midterm elections? There was no red wave, barely a red trickle. Some votes still out. Things still undecided in some races, especially the Senate races. And of course, in Georgia, we won't know until December after they have a runoff between Senator Warnock and Herschel Walker. But we also had Nevada and Arizona still hanging in the balance. The House is not yet in the control of the GOP, but most likely will be. All of that said, let me go back to the question that's hanging over everything, and not just the question, but maybe the shot across the bow. Did the midterm elections shake the very foundation of Donald Trump? Now, I will tell you this, if you were to ask Donald Trump that question, his response would be very similar to AOC. It ain't my fault we lost everything, and I'm not to blame, and no, it's not, and we will get it right. I know that's what the man would say. Political talk from both of them. Egotistic talk from both of them. But the reality is different than what they might want to portray. And I say that, Reverend Trump and AOC, if you listen to this program long enough, you know I call balls and strikes. If my particular side is wrong, I point it out. I'm not holding back. If you want some sweet table sugar served in a silver spoon to you, you're going to have to go somewhere else. If you want a direct factual opinion based with the commentary as well, but commentary based upon opinion and my belief, you're going to get it, and you may not like it sometimes. But it's going to be an honest answer for you. We're going to get into that in more detail. And in fact, we're going to be joined by Helen Raleigh of the Federalist Senior Editor. And she points out, so it was no red wave, but Democrats still got a rude awakening. Well, what suddenly shocked the Democrats from these numbers the other day? You want to hear that part of the story as well. And James Carville talking about, you're talking about shaking the foundations. Is James Carville suggesting that the Michigan governor might be presidential timber? And then, of course, We're also going to focus today on the Pat Tillman story. After 9/11, Tillman turned down a reported $3.5 million contract with the Arizona Cardinals, enlisted with his brother Kevin, several tours in Iraq, Afghanistan with the 75th Rangers. He was killed in an ambush in Afghanistan, and later it was turned out that it was probably more likely friendly fire. But it's still an important story of service, devotion, dedication, love of country. And I want to bring it to this forefront on Veterans Day, on the day we honor all of those who served in our military at whatever level. Often the president in office lays a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier. Do you know where our president was today? Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie, and I'm starting to feel you, boy. Come on, let's go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
When we look at the mission, and as a Marine, we're looking at the mission, and you know, the voters have spoken, and they have said that they want a different leader. And a true leader understands when they have become a liability. A true leader understands that it's time to step off the stage. And the voters have given us that very clear message. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And indeed, that's where we are today. And as I said before, America is the prize. Why do we want to win elections? It's because we've got to learn to love each other, live together, govern together. And the voters are saying enough is enough.
Enough is enough. Those are very strong remarks coming from Winsome Sears, of course, who is now the Virginia Lieutenant Governor. She is a Jamaican-born American, now serving as the 42nd Lieutenant Governor of Virginia, a member of the Republican Party. She got in with the endorsement of Donald Trump. But when she was asked on Neil Cavuto's Coast to Coast, she said, "I cannot support Trump at this point." And you heard her outline the reasons. She is a Marine veteran. And she said, when we have a mission, we look at the mission and we see the voters in this case have spoken. They want a different leader. Now, I know that's setting off fireworks, explosions, future explosions, demolitions. Who knows what else is going to follow? But there are also other, quote, defectors joining her. Now, this is going to, I raised the question in the opening monologue. Are these midterm elections and the result that there was no red wave, barely a red trickle, and several races still in doubt, is this going to change Donald Trump's announcement coming up next week. I mean, he said that he would have a major announcement come the 14th or 15th. I think the final date was given the 15th. It could change again. And, of course, the idea was that he was going to express and say that, yes, I'm running again. But if his foundation is crumbling under him, even as I speak, will he? The other question, should he? You may be one of the biggest Trump supporters in the world. Winston Sears obviously owes her position in large part to Donald Trump, as do other Republicans. The economy we did have before Biden came in, we owe to Donald Trump. We wanted a guy who may not know politics, not polished, crass in sometimes, very crass and maybe saying things that never should be said or even uttered. But he set the country on a better track. He made us energy independent. We no longer had to rely on OPEC to anything. He got the Russians in line. The North Koreans got back off of their plan to shoot more missiles. They've been firing more and more lately because during the Biden administration. I truly believe that if Trump were in office, there would not be a Ukraine invasion underway. And he also, this is a very key point, he was in position, by God's providence, he was in position to name 3 U.S. Supreme Court justices. That set the stage for the Roe v. Wade ruling. Which brings us to a point that some are saying that really undermined the Republicans. I was one of the ones believing, and I still want to believe it, but you can't deny the numbers. At some point, you got to say, Larry, you're wrong. Oh, my God, I hate saying that. But sometimes you are wrong. I didn't see that Roe v. Wade would still be that viable for the general public when it came to the election. Everything's indicating that perhaps it was. But my guest coming up later in this hour is also going to put a different spin on it. So maybe I might not be wrong, but I'm not 100% right. You ever been in that position? That might be where I am. Do I still think Trump can add to the party and help out? I think so, and I say think. Before the midterm, I'd say yes. Keep in mind, the majority of the Republican candidates that were running in the general election were his picks, his endorsement. The rallies were massive. But Democrat money was also going in, along with crossover Democrat voters picking the primary candidate they wanted their Democrat to run against, and they thought each one they picked would be easier to defeat, and it appears it was. We still have the control of the House in not really decided yet. How many votes left at this point? I think, let me see, stateful ballots are still being counted. Races that would determine leads in the House and Senate. This is 2 days now after the election. We've still got races being decided, and obviously when it comes to the Senate races, Nevada and Arizona, there are at this point, I'm looking at some of the latest result numbers here. It looks like, well, they're still being counted. It's just too close to call right now. Laxalt might be leading in Nevada. Kelly apparently is leading in Arizona, but there are something like 20% of the votes haven't even been counted yet. And Kerry Lake, who's running for governor in Arizona, who thought her coattails would be enough to pull Laxalt across the line, she believes those votes are going to go Republican. We'll have to wait and see. The House races, that also includes votes in Arizona, California, Nevada, and others as ballots are still being tallied. So the so-called red wave obviously didn't exist. It was a figment of our imagination, or our projection, a figment of our projection. And then you get Joy Reid bringing something to the table. Joy Reid of, yes, MSNBC, talking about what happened in Michigan with Governor Whitmer. Now, keep in mind, even the Detroit News, of course, no big conservative paper there, but it did point out that the Democrats now have control of the Michigan legislature for the first time in decades. And Whitmer, of course, winning re-election when almost everyone thought, due to COVID and everything else, the way she locked everybody down, and yet she would violate the rules, they got to throw her out, right? Well, they didn't. And Joy Reid is praising that Whitaker should be getting more support and praise and honor and glory and parades than Ron DeSantis.
His administration, when it came to the economy, helped us because black unemployment was the lowest it had ever been.
I feel like, you know, the media has overplayed the importance of DeSantis and underplayed the victory for Whitmer. I mean, Whitmer, to me, was the biggest single individual winner on Election Day, because not only did she, you know, she survived a kidnapping threat, and she survived real threats to democracy in her state, got reelected by a healthy margin, and they took over the state.
And they took over the state. Now, you're hearing in the beginning a part of Winsome Sears talking about what Donald Trump did. We're going to get to that again in more detail in the second hour, but Reid again making it clear, I believe the media's overplayed the importance of DeSantis, underplayed the victory for Whitmer. And then as her guest, she had James Carville, Democrat analyst, of course, helped get Bill Clinton elected. And James Carville has his way and his thoughts and everything. And he also, let me point out, if I made bad mistakes on how this was going to go, so did James Carville. He said, quit talking about all this woke stuff. Quit talking about the things that people don't care about. You know, they don't care about all this stuff. They care about kitchen table. It's the economy, stupid. Well, that didn't win the day either when it got down to it. And now James Carville is predicting, based on what you heard Joy Reid say, as to how Whitmer is, I said Whitaker earlier, Whitmer is holding her office, and now that her party dominates the Michigan legislature for the first time in decades. Carville, I don't know, you listen to him, is he suggesting that she might be presidential timber?
For 2024, 2028, she's already in the talk of, you know, of being a very serious presidential candidate if she runs. So I think people really understand what she's done and how tough she is. And that whole bunch of Michigan Democrats, my friend Senator Mary McMurrow, a bunch of these people, you know, really worked hard and did a good job, as it did in Pennsylvania. And I said this morning, I guess yesterday morning, and Josh Shapiro might have had the best campaign of the whole cycle. I mean, they were very aggressive. They got enough votes, I think, to help Fetterman a lot. So, yes, I think you're right to point that out. But I think Gretchen Whitmer is at the top of any conversation about any national figure in the Democratic Party.
National figure in the Democrat Party means the White House. Maybe not going first as president, but as VP in the Democrat Party. Joy Reid says, see, they do have more bench strength than we thought they did. Now, you look at what's happening with the economy, because when Carville said it's the economy, stupid, and we all thought that was going to be the thing that was going to make sure there's a red wave, discussion that took place between Larry Kudlow and John Carney, and Carney is a well-known economist. In fact, he has been around for quite some time and acknowledging various things that basically work and then those that don't. He is a Breitbart economics editor, and they were talking about how we got into the bad situation we are with the economy.
You heard him, Mr. Biden. The economy was reeling when he came into office. He is rebuilding it. He is putting together Silicon Valley semiconductor bailouts, Green New Deal bailouts, going to have high-paying jobs. Inflation was Vladimir Putin's problem. I always direct this to Steve Moore. Today I want you to start it out. You heard him say that.
Yeah, this is the lie that got us inflation. They said the economy was in ruins. We needed trillions of new spending in order to rescue the economy when we were already coming back. The fact that they're still telling me this lie makes me very glad that the Republicans captured at least one house of Congress, because we can put a stop to the overspending that this lie generated through the inflation.
And that's important. But, of course, they have to have control of the House. All the spending appropriations bill comes to the House, and it appears that Republicans are going to have that, but let's get the final numbers. You heard Kudlow mention Moore. Well, he's talking about his other guest that he had on at that time, and economist, Freedom Works economist Steve Moore, and his thoughts about the inflation issue.
The second quarter of 2020 was the killer. The roof fell in. The economy lost 35%.
And the guy who opened up the economy was Donald J. Trump. But they can't get away with that line, nor should they be able to get away with this line that somehow this is an international problem. There are five countries in the world that have lower inflation rates than ours. And so many of these other countries are pegged to the dollar. So when we have inflation, they have inflation, too. 1.5% inflation when Trump left office, 8.5% inflation. That should be the close of the argument.
Should be the close of the argument, but it's not. And then again, back to John Carney, Breitbart economics editor. The Biden White House just not facing the facts in front of them right now.
I think this line about, like, oh, it's an international problem, as Steve was saying, is a deep lie, because one of the reasons it is an international problem is they all followed the same playbook. They all adopted this we need to just spend, and that's why it's an international problem. It doesn't excuse the Biden administration. And then he claims, oh, we're doing better. Well, yeah, we're doing better because we tightened earlier than other countries. They waited too long.
Yeah, they waited too long. Sucks to be them. Doesn't really look great for us either. Coming up, what can the GOP House do? That's the key issue. Stand by.
Larry Connors USA.
One thing they need to do is put forward a growth agenda. Mm-hmm. We need to grow our way out of inflation. We can't just have only Fed tightening. Back in 1974, Jude Winiski wrote, "It's time for a tax cut."
Yes.
After interviewing Robert Mundell. And I think we're back at that point where we have, again, the situation, international inflation. What does the U.S. need to do? It needs to have another pro-growth agenda. I think it's not just tax cuts. We also need to have energy abundance once again.
Yes, that we do need. Now, those are the words, again, of Breitbart's economics editor, John Carney, on the Larry Kudlow Show. He said, if you're going to really change things up, you don't need more taxes, and we certainly don't need more giveaways and student loan forgiveness, which at the last report still is being struck down by a judge. We don't need handouts. We need JOBs to be filled. We've got them open, but folks are thinking, why do I need to work? You're going to give me a check anyway. And then the report came out the other day, if their student loan is forgiven, many were saying, well, I'm not going to take the money that I will get and help pay off the rest of it. I will take it and, oh, I don't know, go on a vacation, buy a car, do things like that. It's basically free money. It's your money, my money. It's the money of those who did not go to college because, one, they could not afford it, or because they decided to go into trade, and they obviously, in many cases, have earned more than a college graduate. I can't imagine coming out of Harvard or anywhere, a place like that, where I've got a degree in microeconomic biological survey of historians in the 3 BC. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it will do, but I don't know of any job it's going to get you. Meanwhile, we've got a shortage of those who are needed for others, like truck drivers, plumbers, workers, roofers, and general contractors, things of this nature. Those are well-paying jobs, and they're paying well more now because of inflation. But, of course, their dollar is not going as far. But here's John Carney, again, a Breitbart economics editor, saying, what we're going to have to do is have the House, once the Republicans get control of it, because that holds the purse strings. That's the purse strings. That was the whole issue, if you remember. Going back to Obama and Obamacare. Remember that case before the Supreme Court? I remember because that was the last time I did a presidential interview, is with Obama, and I raised that very question because just the week before, as it went to the Supreme Court to be decided if it was legal, because it involved monies, which therefore it should be an appropriation, appropriation bill, he said, well, I'm sure they're going to do the right thing. And my question to him was, are you trying to use this office as a bully pulpit? Which, of course, he denied. But then John Roberts, Chief Justice, sided with the others, saying, yeah, it's not really an appropriations bill. We're going to kind of let it go through. Bad, bad decision. Bad boy. But anyway, it was done. But here's John Carney saying that's what we need to do. I want to share this with you. NBC is now forecasting, NBC, that the Republicans will win the U.S. House by 9 seats. That's good. I mean, they were expected to win. That is part of the what we would call the red wave. But we also wanted to get the Senate, and those 3 seats are still hanging in balance. But according to NBC, even with some of these votes still out, in Arizona, something like 20% of votes not yet counted. In Nevada, I'm not sure exactly how many, but they're still out. According to the NBC News forecast, Republicans will hold 222 seats, Democrats 213. That's according to them. And based upon that, betting odds, if you're in Vegas, you're looking to put money on it. Odds for Republicans winning the House up to 80% now. That's a pretty safe bet, wouldn't you say? But the midterms did have some things that could have shaken the Trump Foundation, but there were also lessons for the Democrats. Did they learn anything? My next guest will get into what the Democrats should know.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So earlier I'd mentioned in our opening monologue about this being Veterans Day, and often the president in office lays a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier. And I raised the question, do you know where our president is? And I think it was Ron, I've lost the name now, sent word back, yes, he's at Mar-a-Lago. No, I know what you mean, but he's not the president. That would be Biden. I'll get back into that story later. Also remind you that as I speak, we are live streaming right now at rumble.com. You go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors, USA, and you join us in studio. My guest is Helen Raleigh. She's a senior contributor and Federalist, author of several books. One of them, I love the title, Confucius Never Said. And she pointed out in a piece she did for the Federalist that Democrats, basically those who were counting on minorities for their destiny, they got a pretty much of a rude awakening. Helen, welcome back. Glad to have you on board.
Thank you for having me, Larry.
So when you say that they got a rude awakening, things that you basically is titled Democrats who were counting on demographics being destiny had it all wrong. What happened?
Well, I think we all can just point to what happened to Florida on Tuesday night, right?
Yes.
The Republicans from the governorship to Senator Marco Rubio and several congressional seats basically swept the Florida, turned it, swing state into deeply red, especially they got help from the Hispanic voters, including in the Democrat stronghold like the Miami-Dade County. So that's unheard of. So this is why I think this is one of the strongest rebuttal to the Democrats' long-held assertion that somehow as our population become more diverse, minorities become majorities, somehow it's a guarantee for the Democrats to stay in power forever.
Well, and they were looking at, as you say, minorities, but we'd already seen a split that Latino votes were swinging and moving away. I haven't seen the latest actual demographic numbers out of this, but that the number of Hispanics that were going to vote Republican had, compared to previous, almost doubled. And I think Trump pulled something like 36% when he ran.
Right. And so I do think what happened Tuesday night, Governor Ron DeSantis deserved most of the credit. But at the same time, Trump deserves some credit too. As I mentioned in my piece, that this trend of not just Hispanics, but also if you look at the Black voters and Asian American voters, even though they haven't moved to the right as much in a much smaller scale, they move to the right compared to the Hispanic voters. But this trend of minority voters started moving to the right. Really started during Trump's first term. And it has a lot to do with his economic policies that, you know, so here's the thing I think the Democrats really misunderstood about the minority voters. You know, many minority voters are culturally conservative, and they care more about the economic benefits. So the Trump years with the booming economy, when the unemployment rates among the Blacks and Hispanics reached a historic low, those are really good memories for the minorities. They remember that. And the minority voters, you know, they vote less on party line, more on the issues. So they appreciate a good economic policy. That's why you see the Trump won more minority votes in 2020 compared to his own campaign in 2016, as well as compared to many Republican presidential candidates, you know, came before him.
Well, but the Democrats have looked at them, even though they have their cultural differences, they still look at them as you're a minority bloc. You follow us. We lead you. We get you the polls. We get you home. And when it came to the Black, we'll get you off the plantation to come vote, and we'll put you back on the urban plantation. And minorities, especially like you mentioned Florida and DeSantis, you also see what happened in Texas with Abbott sweeping several blue counties in Texas, which have never been red.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's where the lesson learned is, demographics are not the destiny, but the sound policies are. That's what my piece really argue. So I think Republicans should not give up, try to win minority votes. But it's not through racial pandering like the Democrats are doing, but rather through sound policies that will lift everybody, you know, to a better economic situation. You know, minority voters, just like everybody else, you know, they want a good paying job. They want a booming economy. They want a safe neighborhood. They want a good schools for their kids. And then they will reward, you know, whatever, you know, whoever politicians that bring them those things, and they will punish the politicians who fail to deliver those things. So that's something the Republican Party and the older Republican candidates should keep in mind.
Well, now, to keep in mind also Roe v. Wade and many, and I was one of them, thinking that was going to be so distant mm-hmm. in the past it wasn't going to really affect things, but higher registration than we've ever seen of single young women and college students, which indicate they're going to be more interested in whether or not they're even getting abortion or care about it. Whereas in many Hispanic communities, they were walking away from it because it's anti-Catholic, since many of them were. And again, if that's not something you're focused on right now, you're looking at your economic issues, not am I going to have or keep a baby. But again, that seemed to be a big sway point for many voters as to why there was no so-called red wave.
No kidding. I think those cultural issues actually do matter. And you are saying, and we are saying, that the minority voters actually are leading some of those charges. For example, in Michigan, I don't know if you see if you watch the viral video of a Muslim parent, you know, showed up at the school board meetings, opposed the over-sexualized, you know, right, gender indoctrination for their children. And also in San Francisco, I mean, I'm talking about San Francisco, you know, Asian American parents ousted the three far left school board members in a recall election at the beginning of this year. So everywhere you see, you know, minority voters actually are taking lead against some of the extreme positions.
They're thinking for themselves, which is exactly what every voter should do.
Exactly. That's why I feel hopeful after I see some of those numbers coming out of the election Tuesday night.
Now, you point out in your piece, and again, you're listening, Helen Raleigh, a senior contributor to The Federalist, you point out that the Census Bureau predicting by 2050, Asians, Hispanics, Africans, and other minorities would make up most of the population, and that Carville, Democrat strategist, of course, had written 40 more years how Democrats will rule the next generation, and they were all based upon the fact that the demographic trend would keep Democrats in control for decades to come. Well, again, we're seeing breaks within the black community, the Asian, the Latino. I mean, I like it. I like the fact that Americans are going to think for themselves. They're not going to be a monolithic block.
Well, me too. And I think the fact that the Democrats assume, just because, you know, there are more minority voters, somehow we're just going to naturally fall in the line. And whenever we do not, you have this, you know, as I mentioned about the Jen Psaki, you know, former White House press secretary, right, like she has a typical "how dare you" attitude to minority voters, and that's very condescending.
Yeah,
and that's not a winning.
I thought the same thing the other day about Stacey Abrams, saying the reason a lot of black men are not voting for her because they're being misled they're getting misinformation ads while watching NBA. In other words, they're not smart enough to see they're being fed propaganda, so they're going out and voting. In other words, suggesting they don't have a mind of their own. I found that very condescending.
Agree. And like I said, you know, disparaging voters' intelligence, and assuming voters cannot make a sound judgment based on what they see with their own eyes. Those are not, you know, it is not a winning strategy for the Democrats. And the more they're doing this to minority voters, the more they're going to push more minority voters to the right.
I firmly agree with that. And that, in my opinion, would be a good idea. But again, this is Helen Raleigh. Her piece is in the Federalist right now. I suggest you read the whole thing if you can. Democrats who were counting on demographics being destiny had it all wrong. And Helen, thank you for your time. And again, one of the books she wrote is Confucius Never Said. I encourage you to watch that and read that as well. Helen, as always, we appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You bet. We'll do it again. Thank you. Coming up, I'm going to read you a survey, a study, however you want to call it. This might well be, I've been looking for the right words to say it. All right, I'll just come right out and say it. This might be the most chauvinistic survey study I've ever seen, and that's pretty a mouthful for me to say, but when you hear details of this study, if you don't agree with me, then you don't agree, but I still say this is unbelievable. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood. Lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Counting Country, and Clayton.
Well, you can't tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a woman's man. No time to talk. You see the
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, I'm getting word from some listeners in outside the immediate signal area that rely upon our KXEN website, and the same for Rumble, that they're not able to get it for some reason. We may be having some difficulty. We're checking on it now, but that's such a shame because I know so many that cannot hear within the radio signal. You don't need a big stick for an antenna anymore. This signal goes all around the world if you log into our website on the website, and the same thing with Rumble. So supposedly we'll get it squared away, and I guess the Rumble is also being recorded, and it'll be up later if it's not live now. Mark, have you heard anything new? They're working on it? Okay, all right. Well, it's kind of like we say, yes, we're aware of the problem, and we have some of our best people working on it. How's that? Dadgummit, I hate to hear that, though. I really appreciate those who listen by whatever means they can and share with others. A couple stories here. Well, one other story before I get to this one. I told you it's just shocking, chauvinistic, and at least in my opinion. First of all, in Barnstable County, Massachusetts, I had no idea where that is. Some of you might, but they elected a Democrat, Donna Buckley, for sheriff, ensuring that the area's cooperation with Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency would soon come to an end. See, what they did is they replaced their longtime sheriff, James Cummings, a Republican, and she got in with a promise that she would end the agreement with ICE. That allows local law enforcement to seamlessly identify criminal illegal aliens and then turn them over to ICE agents for arrest and deportation. And she said the sheriff's office should not be doing that. We need to focus on all the people who come out of jail and make sure they don't commit more crimes. They don't have more victims. They don't overdose and die. They don't put our police at risk and so forth. So there and others, they're now deciding we're just going to release criminal aliens back in. ICE wants to have them held, but we're saying, no, Matt, we're not doing your job for ICE. We're letting them go. She just said, the winning sheriff said, we should be focusing on the people who come out of jail, which would be the illegals, make sure they don't commit more crimes, which would, again, possibly be illegals. Good God, these. I told you yesterday, the woke culture needs to be put to sleep. All right, so here's this survey I want to share with you. For all of those who thought that Zoom schooling was bad, 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 this proves it. Oh, yes, it was, especially for one particular category. The title of a research paper, which is also based upon apparently some surveys, student beauty, and grades under in-person and remote teaching. And it points out that by having a jury of 74, they're not a big, but look at the 307 engineering students and rate them extremely unattractive as 1, extremely attractive to 10, that there seemed to be a beauty premium for attractive students, both males and females, getting higher grades. When education moved online, there was a significant fall in the grades of those attractive female students. Roughly 80% of the beauty premium imparted by their looks evaporated. They weren't there to sit in class and smile and nod and wink at the professor. And so the grades went down, which makes you think, were they doing the work anyway or are they just there to look good? You know, well, maybe they were there to look good. But according to this, the survey found women, quote, the beauty premium in education is due to discrimination in their favor. They often get higher looks just because they look better. Male students, well, they could benefit, but they got to do something to make them look more successful and look better as well. Where did all this take place, you ask? I'm glad you asked. It is in only one country, and it's one small little study, part of a research paper. So it really has no validity when you get down to it. And yet I think it does speak volumes of what really has happened and is happening and does and will and always has. It was done in Sweden. Swedish researchers. We're, of course, in this country trying to be woke, and nobody's going to be denied because they don't look good. They could still be a news anchor. But we all know the fact is our movie star, there's a certain look. And men tend to hang on to the job longer than women because men supposedly look more graceful in aging than women. That's according to the allegation. And then you got men like me that if you lose your hair, you look a lot of... I'm not going to go down that road. We will talk about the Trump Foundation being shaken. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.